Engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
There was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day with fasting and prayer. And coming forward at that very time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Lord Jesus Christ.
We are in the octave of Christmas, and the church reflects day by day through these readings on the deeper meaning of the birth of Christ. And we see today here that, as the gospel says, the child grew and the favor of God was upon him. Well, that's Christ the head. We are the members. We are incorporated into Christ, and we therefore have the favor of God. And it is on that theme that St. John is writing this first of his letters. And in the passage we heard from this morning, he's addressing those that he's writing to. And as he's addressing them, he's making it clear how they enjoy the favor of God. It's celebratory, isn't it? I am writing to you. And he has this refrain of victory. Your sins have been forgiven. You know him who is from the beginning. You know the eternal God. He's not a mystery to you. He's not in the darkness. He has revealed himself. Because remember, Christmas is the full revelation of who the Father is. As the letter to the Hebrews says, and we read from it on Christmas Day, in the past God spoke to our fathers in fragmentary and varied ways through the prophets, but now he has spoken to us through his Son, the perfect image of the Father. So John is saying this is a cause of joy for you because you know him. And he says you've conquered the evil one. This is Christmas. He comes to share our human nature so that we can share his divine nature, so that we conquer evil. He came to break the power of evil. John will write this in this same letter. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. And so that's not just about what he does, it's about what happens to us. So John is writing in this exultant spirit, you might say in this Christmas spirit, look at the good that has happened to us because of the coming of the Savior. That's why at midnight mass what the angel said was, this is good news for all the people, not just the people there in the field, the shepherds, not just the people in the world at that time, but for all the people, in other words, all humanity. From Adam and Eve down to the last person who will ever be, the Christmas gospel is good news for all the people because a Savior has been born for all the people. And John, if you will, in this passage is unraveling for us what that salvation means. What does it mean that he's your Savior? You know him, first of all. You've been forgiven your sins. You've conquered the evil one. And he repeats it twice. Now, to be saved from evil, to be conquering the evil one, to know the Lord, is to also understand properly the distinction he then makes in this reading. Because there are improper ways of understanding it, but then there's the proper way of understanding it when he makes the distinction between loving God and loving the world. Now, Scripture, the Gospel of John tells us God so loved the world that he sent his only son. So it's not the world in the sense of the ordinary meaning of the word. God loves the world, and so must we. We must love everyone in the world. And it doesn't mean despising creation either. Because what did Jesus say? How wonderfully the the flowers of the field are made, right? And your Father looks with love. And in fact, going back to Genesis, God created everything and saw how good it was. God does not despise what he has created. And he doesn't call us to despise it either. So this is not a distinction that should be understood when John says, well, love God the Father, but you can't love the world. It's not a distinction between the things of this world versus the things of the Spirit, or a kind of a dualism, as it's called, that would look on material things as in and of themselves evil or sinful. It's not sinful in and of itself to have things. It would be sinful to love those things more than we love God, or to trust in those things without trusting in God. But it's not that possessions in and of themselves are evil, or even the pleasures of life. Is God happy when we enjoy a good meal? God gave us the good meal. Does God look down on us getting Christmas gifts? No, not at all. So what's being said here? The understanding of if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him, is a love of the world that looks to the things here on earth in place of God. This is the spiritual boundary line that John is setting. And he goes into detail here. Sensual lust, enticement for the eyes, and pretentious life. These are three dynamics that draw us away from God. Sensual lust. That we prefer the things of sensual pleasure. This would be wrong. That we prefer those things. That we become enslaved to those things. That we begin objectifying people. Instead of treating people with reverence and as persons, we begin to look at them as objects. That's what pornography does, right? And various kinds of sexual temptations and sins, looking at the person just as an object of pleasure, sensual lust, or things like gluttony, when, again, we get out of control. Instead of receiving gratefully from God the gifts he gives us, which include things of the senses, all right, we don't say that it's wrong to enjoy the beauty of a sunset, the beauty of the mountains. We say it's right, it's good to enjoy those things. We don't even say that the sexual pleasure that God bestows upon those who love one another in a committed marriage and come together faithfully, open to life, is the sensual pleasure there in and of itself wrong and sinful? No, it becomes holy. But separating that from that context is what becomes wrong. When the sensual lust becomes an object in itself that we are seeking without any regard to the reverence for people, faithfulness to our own calling, and obedience to the laws of God. Enticement for the eyes. Again, when we are simply going after those things that bring us pleasure because they bring us pleasure and giving no thought, giving no preference to the things of God. The pride of life, boasting all the time about who we are, exaggerating our importance. Many people in the world do this. And it leads us away from that humble attitude that Jesus so insisted upon. Those who humble themselves shall be exalted. Do not think of others as more important than yourselves, Scripture urges us. So John is making clear what the distinction is here. The distinction is not between the material and the spiritual. The distinction is not between this world and the world to come. The distinction here is being, where is our center of gravity? Being controlled, being enslaved, or making our priority the things of this world without God, as if we can be independent of him, versus worshiping God, seeing God in everything, and using the good things of this world, the good things of this world, as stepping stones to him, using the good things of this world, receiving them gratefully, and using them in the service of the God who is our center of gravity, our greatest desire, our most important relationship, and our ultimate loyalty. Integration is the word we're looking for here. Integration. We don't say, oh, well, I'm not in this world. We don't say, oh, well, this world doesn't matter. It does matter. This is the arena where we're working out our salvation. But integration. We receive everything that God has put in our path, and we order everything rightly. We let him order everything rightly in us. So that every desire, every activity, every choice we make, everything that we enjoy, everything is working and moving in the same direction. That is the service of God. Do everything for the glory of God. That's the way of the disciples of Jesus Christ, who, having received the Christmas gift, are able to say, our sins have been forgiven. We know him who is from the beginning, and we have conquered the evil one. May this revolution of Christmas, may this salvation that transforms us be our gift today. May we live it. May we enjoy it. May it bring us to a truly Merry Christmas, a new year blessed with his presence and a life of serving the one who has come to save us. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.